when I see companies try to just do everything, that doesn't necessarily work either. If you look at your portfolio and you just are like, I have like one of each type of client persona, like I have Leisure Larry and I have Accidental Albert and I have an Investor Ivan, like I try to capture these personas. You want to have diversity in your portfolio, but you also don't want so much diversity that your team is kind of like, we don't really know what we're specializing in. And one client could literally make it really difficult to run your business, meaning they are micromanaging my team all the time. They're calling us all the time. They want to know everything that's going on with their property. You could build a business just off of those type of clients. It could also be very taxing for your team. Really figure out your niche and stick to that. If you want to explore another pillar of the business, like HOA, short-term, you know, small multifamily, if you're doing single family, that's all good, but don't expect your property manager to be diversified enough to be able to also handle the personas of those clients as well.
Welcome to the Mastering Property Management Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Sarbit. Join me as we delve into candid conversations with industry experts to uncover their strategies and insights for achieving success in property management. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, let's elevate your property management skills together.
Hi, everybody. This is Jared Sarbit with Mastering Property Management. Today, I have the honor and privilege of having Deb Newell on the show. Deb Newell is the founder of Real Time Consulting, a property management consulting firm in Paradise Valley, Arizona. Deb works with different property managers from all sorts of sizes, from small to large, all the way to 14,000 doors, specializes in multifamily, but also single family as well. Deb, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jared. It's nice to be here.
Deb, why don't you kind of go into, you know, talking about some of the insights and what led you into specializing in property management consulting, particularly, you know, with 25 years of experience in the industry. Take me through your experience and some major milestones along the way.
Sure, of course. So I think being in the industry for as long as I have, that's kind of part of my, you know, pedigree of being able to, you know, speak to it so well. I started off really flipping homes in the late 90s and just fell into property management. I don't think anybody really, there are some people who do, but I definitely wasn't one of them where I thought out to be a property manager or even start my own company. But because I had my own rental properties, it was kind of a natural evolution to kind of, you know, manage those and then start really just managing for others. It just organically grew. It wasn't anything I put a lot of effort in to. I did it for really cheap. I made a lot of mistakes and learned really quickly what worked, what didn't, and just kind of kept going with it. So it wasn't, I think I just like a lot of people, it was the discovery of something new every day and kept me really busy. It's kind of a hard job to quit, I should say, but it was something that just kind of kept me going. And, you know, I get to 50 doors, I'm under management, I hired my first employee. And then, you know, now you're responsible for somebody else and somebody else's livelihood. So it kind of grew from there, but it was all really organic. It wasn't until much later that I really put a focus in on marketing and really growing the company and doing something with it.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. And so tell me a little bit about, so when you got to, when you developed, how long has real-time consulting been around for now? Like how did that kind of
formulate? Real-time consulting was really, I had a property management company and I had a maintenance company. Real-time consulting didn't come until about 2013. Okay. And it was really because I had served on some national boards, both for NAR and then for NARPM. And there wasn't really consultants or coaches or anything in the real into the property management space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people would ask me questions. I volunteered the information. Facebook groups weren't really around then. So it was that also kind of just grew organically. And I really enjoy educating and teaching. That's kind of my background. So I kind of just jumped on, you know, starting real-time consulting again to fill a need of people asking, can I come help their business? And it really just was that way. And that's how it kind of grew again, organically. Yeah. And it wasn't really until several years later that, again, I put a lot of effort into marketing and to really expanding my reach. And during that time, I also went back to school. I got my MBA. I'm in my doctorate program. A lot of the reasons for that is because the more knowledge I have, it's just expanding my abilities to help others as I continue to kind of, reach out and help, this industry. And obviously the more people I work with, that builds on my knowledge as well. I've seen a lot of operations on the end, both for multifamily and single family. So I've seen thousands of companies, how they operate, what works, what doesn't work. And then kind of the dynamics of like my education piece, the secular side, is really coming in and really boosting what I can do to help companies coming more in as a fractional COO, changing team dynamics, changing culture, building out processes, helping them with tech stack, looking at their finances, looking at ways to grow and make money and streamline their operations.
Awesome. Which all that stuff I want to get into, deeper into, that's for sure. That's amazing. Who would be your ideal customer? Like you were telling me just before we got on here is that, you have quite a range from some smaller ones to bigger ones. What would be your ideal customer?
I get asked that question a lot. I don't know if there's an ideal. I mean, there is an ideal customer. Obviously, that's one of the things I even tell my clients to look out for is, what's that persona look like? But there's a pretty big range because I'll get people who are just like, I want to start a property management company. And so building that foundation is really, really important. And so getting them set up with all of the necessary tools and platforms and everything. So that's on like one extreme, but yeah. I can tell you most of my clients are around 1,000 to 2,000 doors or more. That sweet spot's probably around 1,000 door. They're looking, they've hit this plateau in their business. I do see that a lot when they get to 400 doors. And that's the reason being is because they were running really, really, efficiently. And now they have to either make a new hire or they have to kind of do something to get to that next level. Or it's the reverse. They get to a point where they have too many people in the organization because they've hired the wrong people and they can't let them go. And so they are looking at how do I become more lean as a company and how do I then build that into growth and revenue?
Amazing. So much value there, I'm sure. That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about, specifically about you, Deb Newell. What are the qualities that have gotten you here? You had your own company from a property manager perspective. You've now consulting. You got your MBA. I can guess right away some qualities you might have. But tell me a little bit about what are some of the qualities that Deb Newell has that has got you to the level that you've achieved.
So I think when people ask me, they're saying like, "Where are you on the disc?" I'm just a high D. I don't know if I have any. It's mostly a D. But I would say that I'm really bold. And I think that's helped me. I learned that at a pretty young age, early 20s, I learned how to be really bold. And that's really helped me in kind of establishing careers throughout, my time. But I would also say that I'm really good at discerning situations and people. And that's been very advantageous as to help companies as well get to that next level. So, and I'm good at, it's easy to kind of critique somebody else or somebody else's business, but I have to take it a step further. I'm not critiquing them and I'm looking at it. How can I really help them be better? And so objectively, I take a lot of the emotion out and because it's a very emotional business for that individual. They started the company. It's their baby. And, I'm coming in and I'm telling them their baby's not very attractive and we're going to have to, clean it up and fix it up and get it into a beauty pageant. And so, I have to sometimes tread lightly and everybody's different. Some people come with different baggages and we have to kind of, as I'm digging into the business, I learn a lot about the individual that I'm working with and their team. And I can start to see things unravel. So I have that ability to kind of look at a bigger picture, be very objective about it. And I don't mince my words. I don't think people want me to come in and coddle them and tell them everything's going to be okay. Sometimes I'll tell them, hey, this isn't going to work. You either have to completely change the structure You have to let some people go. You have to implement this. I tell them how it is. And what's probably the most frustrating is when they know that it's the right move, or they even can see that it is on that roadmap that we build out, but it's really hard for them to take that first step. So walking them through how that's going to happen and kind of being there for a little bit of the fallout, because it takes time. It's not that we're going to let somebody go and then magically everything's going to be better. Oftentimes, if you let somebody go, other things kind of come up from that, and we have to then stop what we were doing on that path and then go back and fix something else. And so we have to be able to pivot a lot. I'm very good at pivoting. A lot of people are not very good at pivoting, and change is really difficult. Even though they say, oh, I want to change, I want to do this, I want to do this. And when we do change, and I push them to do it because I can see that, you know, what's going to happen on the horizon, it's really hard for people. And I'm learning more and more every day. It's a new, you know, it's a new journey, but I'm learning to be, you know, that's where I have to be a little bit more patient, because not everybody will move as quickly as I would want them to move. Right. And I have to respect that.
Yeah, no kidding. Holy cow. That's really, it's interesting and insightful that you say, I'm really good at pivoting. So what kind of traits allows you to pivot easier than others? Because you're right, change is very hard for most.
I'm not a very emotional person. Yeah. So I think that's actually why I can pivot quickly. Again, it's, you know, glass houses, it's easier for me to look inside and see, here's everything you need to do. And there's, you know, now if you go on Facebook, there's all these Facebook groups. I mean, people will offer free advice, unsolicited or solicited, as they want. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very careful about that as well. Some of it's really good advice. Mm-hmm. It's not always applicable to your business. So not every operation runs the same. And the interesting thing about property management and the beauty of it is that we all operate very differently, because we as individuals are very different. So our culture is going to be different. Who we hire is going to be different. Our, you know, policies or procedures, similar, but different. Yeah. And so, and then also the market. So if I'm in Oregon, I'm going to have to do things differently than if I am in Texas because of the freedoms, the regulations and things like that. Yeah. So, all of that plays into the business acumen and what you can do. So I think, I look at it to say I'm not emotionally attached to the business. So it's really easy for me to make these decisions. Right. And that's probably why I can make those change. And I just, you know, good or bad, it's just part of my personality as well, where I can just, really take a step back and then see a bigger picture and methodically think through, using some of the right methodologies to get to that next step.
Awesome. Awesome. Amazing. You've already probably answered a lot of this, but, you know, can you share, what do you believe that sets real-time consulting apart from the other property management consulting services out there? You know, why would someone come to real-time consulting?
Sure. I think I can provide strategic focus, so I can help with, you know, the strategic planning of the business, change management, leadership development. All of these are really critical for the business who's looking to scale, adapt, and make these changes hands-on. So a consultant's very different than a coach, right? I'm not really the person on the sidelines. You know, I'm not a cheerleader. I'll encourage you to make some of these changes, but I really take a more hands-on approach. And I come in and I offer really practical, real world experience that I can bring of what I've seen, what could work, what could not work. I'm fortunate to have a great global network. So I know I've been in this industry a long time. I know a lot of people, and good or bad, that can help, strengthen or, you know, not strengthen a company in some ways, but I can bring in the sense where that they're not ready to kind of like put forth some of these, you know, applications. But, you know, I have a lot of resources. I know a lot of vendors. I know a lot of other property managers in the industry that could really, again, benefit that company. I believe that I have some integrity and that I can, I am really guided by my principles to help bring quality and service to a company. I try to be reliable and trustworthy because I don't want to leave anybody astray. I focus on continuous improvement for companies. I think prioritizing that again and helping them continuously evolve and change and stay competitive is really, really important. I also think I have an innovative approach. You know, I'm bringing in different ideas, things that may be, you know, they heard on the horizon somewhere or heard in a group or at a conference. And how do we, you know, disrupt their business to bring in new technology or make it scalable? How can we, you know, how can we bring all of that as a, like something fresh and, you know, something for them to stay ahead of the curve? Clear communication is really important. So I really believe in open communication. I'm knowledgeable and I think there's a lot of knowledgeable people out there. I'm very specialized in what I do. And I can, again, I have this innate ability to kind of see these long-term visions with companies. I can see where they're at today and I can see what's wrong, the root cause of that problem. And I can get them to that, you know, onto that path that they need to, put themselves on to have lasting change.
Amazing. If I had a property management company, I'd be knocking on your door for sure. That's a lot of value there. Thanks for that. Could you share a case study or example where your consulting services have significantly impacted a specific property management company's operation?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a couple, both kind of at the extreme, one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. I've talked about one of them a couple of times in some conferences, but I have a client who I'm still working with even after a year, but he called me. I was introduced to him years ago, actually at NAR. I had served on a couple of the committees as chair, and I was introduced to him. He's really big and obviously at NAR, but also has a property management arm. It had about 1,100 doors. And he has a title company. He's a lawyer. I mean, he has a lot of things going on in his own life. And he had 12 people turn over in 12 months and he couldn't figure out why. He had an idea and he suspected it, but he knew me and knew what I did. So he called me and, I had a kind of this initial conversation with him. And part of what I do is when I do a deep dive into a company, I take, the first 30 days or so, depending on the size of the company, I will interview all the employees. I'll look at their financials. I'll look at their website, their marketing, their processes. I kind of look at everything on the business and really try to summarize in an executive summary, kind of like a report card. Here's all my findings. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working. Here's all my recommendations. Again, depending on the size of the company, I usually will just start with the executive team. I don't necessarily interview everybody, but as we got further into the process of me interviewing his team, I would start getting these, or my assistant actually started getting these emails asking from team members that I normally just, wouldn't have interviewed, asking to meet with me. And so I thought that was really interesting because when that happens, it tells me that there's kind of this cry for help, right. Hey, can you help like turn this ship around type of thing?
Yeah.
So, good or bad, people fear a consultant coming in for a lot of reasons. Am I going to get fired or what's going to happen? Can you actually make change? And I hope it's the latter that they think I can do, because that's obviously why I'm hired. And I always say it's a good thing if your owner hired me. If the owner of the company hired a consultant, I think they're on the right path to say, we want to make changes. This is a good thing. And I'm not there to try to let people go. I don't want to, but if it has to happen, we try to do it in the best way possible. So I started interviewing. It took a long time. It took, because he has a big staff is partially why, but, so as I'm interviewing everybody, it became very, very clear pretty early on that there was one main culprit and in all of this. And, in doing that, we had to let this individual go. And this person had ran essentially the company. He wasn't in it every single day because he had other businesses. Yeah. And, unfortunately, when that person got let go, there was a lot of things that came out of the woodwork, so to speak, right? Wow. So lots of money was missing. It wasn't charged to owners. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that was missing because owners were not billed correctly. You know, maintenance was given for free. Just a lot of things that were, you know, had to kind of come out from. And during this process, some other people ended up leaving. A lot of people ended up getting let go. It was a big turn for the company. We had to do a big 360, and that's pretty rare. That doesn't happen that often, but it's taken a good year to kind of like right the ship and get the right people on board, change processes, change reporting structure, change, you know, I made him get back into the business. I even said, I was like, you're going to have to put pause on everything else. And you're going to have to focus because I have nobody else. It has to be you.
Yeah.
So that's a really a good one. And then I think on the kind of the revenue side, I have another company I'm working with that in like less than a year, probably I'd say 8 months, she has seen a 30% increase in her revenue. When she came to me, she also had about 1,100 doors, but she had one platform, which you would think is okay, but in our industry, it's pretty common to have between, believe it or not, 8 to 10 different platforms that the company is utilizing in some way, whether it be through maintenance, whether it be just through property management, leasing, marketing, all of these play a factor into kind of like running the business. And so we implemented some new, you know, even though we added cost to her business, she still saw an increase in her revenue because of the efficiency. We didn't even have to let anybody go. In fact, we've hired a couple of people, but she's able to charge more fees to her owners, to the residents. She wasn't able to do that before. So we did contract revisions. So we did a lot of different things that really played into
amazing.
You know, the bottom line.
Very, very good. And so that was through software focus.
Am I right? That was through software. That was really through a stack implementation. And now we're really hyper focused on like improving maintenance. My specialty is actually maintenance. So I started off doing I was a general contractor for years, and that's where I started really. So it's kind of, I, you know, jokingly would say I have a maintenance company that just happened to do property management, because you can't have one without the other. If you're in property management, you have to do maintenance. Even if you outsource maintenance, it doesn't matter. It just comes with the territory. Yes. And so it's what I really help a lot of people do. In fact, before our call, I had a call with a colleague. I've known him for years in the industry. He happens to be in Arizona. You know, and he just had a couple of questions, and I gave him some game changing pointers. And I'm like, if you do these couple of things, you're going to see a huge increase in your billable hours, in the way that your team is structured, and, you know, how to hold them accountable and things like that. So it's fun for me because it's such a challenge, and I love that challenge and trying to, you know, make it better.
Awesome. Awesome. And so kind of on the software note, that was actually leading to my next question. Cause I did notice, you know, looking at your website that there is an emphasis on the importance of, you know, utilizing proper software for the management companies. Mm-hmm. How do you help companies? Tell me a little bit more about, you know, what softwares you use or optimize.
Well, we use a lot of different stuff. So I know all the platforms, so I've been in all of them. So I know AppFolio, Buildium, Propertyware, Rentvine, Rent Manager. I mean, those are like the main ones for like the single family side. I know RealPage product. I know Yardi. I know Entrada. So those are kind of more on the multifamily side. So that's helpful. But there's a lot of software and third party that can integrate with these platforms as well. So it's working with leasing software, marketing software, workflow software. What we'll do as well, I have people on my team that will help build out certain things to, you know, complement what they're already doing. So we'll just use AppFolio because it's like 60, almost 70%, maybe even a little bit more of the industry in single family right now is on that platform. But if, you know, with AppFolio, you know, which is very common in a lot of platforms, you don't get kind of this full snapshot of what you need to see. And so we will build out things in Airtable, in Excel, in Notion, Asana, Trello. So whatever the client wants that they can work in, that they can adopt, because that's going to be really key, is that if I'm not going to just do something, just make it, you know, be cool and that you have it, you have to use it. Because if you don't use it, it's a waste of money. A lot of people in our industry, in the single family industry, use, you know, Lead Simple. They'll use other, other products, Property Meld and things like that. So we work in all of these platforms and I will have clients who will want to like sign up for a platform, and I'll even say, you're not ready yet until we do X, Y, and Z first, or until you get to this many doors, or until you have this many people, because the biggest failure is not adopting and not, so paying for something you can't use. I hate seeing people do that. And who on your team is going to lead that change management? So you have to have a change management person, and that they're going to own it. They're going to implement it. They're going to train on it. They're going to be the expert in it, because it can't be the owner of the company who's also trying to run the company, add more doors, and, you know, manage the team. Like, they're doing already a lot of different things and wearing a lot of different hats. If I add technology into that, that can really go awry. And the challenge is we go to a lot of conferences and we see trade shows and the new shiny object, and there's a lot of them and they're great, and but they all cost money. It's, you know, it's subscription based. It's very rarely that it's flat fee based, but that adds, you know, to your expense, and you can't necessarily, you know, again, are you going to implement it? And really, is it going to add value? So a lot of people want to sign up for something because they're like, oh, it's the new cool thing. Everybody's doing this. But one, does it work in your market, and it, will it add value to your business? Or is it just because it's the new shiny object? And how many months is it going to take to actually implement and you know, utilize?
Yeah, I've come to learn that we've always underestimated how much work it is to implement a software. Once it's implemented, it's amazing. But then, they're very sticky, because once you put it in and you fully implement it, it's hard to take away. In our business, it's a big process. So having someone like you, I'm sure, would be really helpful, because you could see their business, you've seen other businesses, you can kind of match up what you feel is best, and then help them. Create would you call it a change manager, or what do you call
it? Change manager. So somebody who owns that change. Change management is really the term, right? So who's going to kind of own that entire process? And sometimes we'll be on one platform, like our property management system, and we're going to move them into a full different system. And so that requires somebody to own that as well. Because, you know, when you implement new software, the software company is just selling you software. They don't they know the gist of the operations because they understand property management, but they're not operationally going to tell you how to, like, they'll give you some best practices and some best methods based off of what other people are doing. But in the end, it's you.
Totally. Amazing. How do you approach training and development of property management teams to ensure they are equipped with the necessary skills and knowledge for success?
Yeah, well, again, this is kind of where it becomes tricky, because I'll have a lot of teams, again, who kind of put their feet in the sand and don't want to move and don't want to budge. I've had some who are like, I don't want to work with her. I don't want to change. I don't want, you know, she doesn't know our business. She doesn't know this market. And honestly, it's that doesn't apply. I mean, I know the industry probably better than most, and the market aside, I'm a quick study on the market. That's not the difficult part. What I find is when teams don't want to work with me and improve, that means they're hiding something, or they've done a whole bunch of workarounds and they don't want to make their job more efficient, because that to them means I'm just going to get more work. It might mean more work, but in the end, I'm just trying to streamline things. So I work with a lot of people who, you know, they have employees, they might have some fancy schmancy title that doesn't apply to their job at all. They gave them this title because they wanted their employee to feel important. The problem is, you're doing a big disservice to that employee if they're not positioned in the right role, and they're given a title that doesn't really do anything. So if they're a director of property management, but if they're really just an assistant property manager, because there's only three people in the company, I mean, you don't need a director of property management if you have three people in the company. The director is you, the owner, who is just, you know, but so we have to be careful on how we quickly we promote people, what kind of titles we give them, making sure the role really fits the individual that's that, you know, can they do this role? So role clarity is really important. So I work on that first. So I'll work on structure. I'll work on role clarity. And then the biggest thing is expectations. And that, believe it or not, is harder for a lot of people than you would think, because they have to really, I make them think through, you know, what are you wanting to happen with this process? So what's your expectation for how long an application process should take? If they tell me 3 days, I'm like, great, we're going to build that into whoever's going to touch this, you know, that process and into that role. The expectation is, and then we write out the expectation. It's what can hold everybody accountable, because they don't have that today. So I hear a lot when I start working with teams, the biggest thing is I don't know what, you know, my boss wants. I don't know what my manager wants. I don't, they just tell me I'm supposed to do this, but I, you know, they have no deadlines. They have no anything to kind of help execute the entire process. And so they fail at it, and then it's frustrating. And then it's just this kind of domino effect. It's just this roller coaster of what am I going to do?
Yeah, brilliant. That's what I've seen a lot too. Is in, you know, I've supported some other janitorial companies in consulting, and I find that the clarity of roles is massive, because often the people are doing the same thing and they're crossing. There's so much overlap and hard to hold anyone accountable, and that makes a lot of sense. I could see a lot of value of someone coming from the outside in and really helping define that. So much value there. That's amazing. What advice would you give property management businesses looking to disrupt the industry and stand out amongst competitors?
Well, and so one of the other things, that this will actually be part of that answer to this question. The other thing is also to build in. So aside from the expectations, which I think that would also, that would be a huge disruptor, because not a lot of companies have that, is building in like KPIs and actual achievable KPIs. There's company KPIs and then there's individual KPIs, and making sure that you have just enough, not too many. Because if you have too many, then you're just not going to track them. But if you have individual KPIs that play into the company KPIs, that's going to really help. So what I always say that disrupts others is, one, you need to know who is in your market and who your competitors are. Be friendly with them, you know, be, you know, it can be friendly competition. We all do the same thing. We're all doing the same thing. We're, you know, managing an asset for an owner as a third party manager. And so we take the property, we market it, we lease it, we rent it out, we move somebody in, we move somebody out. All, everything that happens in between, kind of the same. We might have to file evictions. We're collecting rent. We have to do lease renewals. Some of our processes will be different, and our procedures might be different, again, based off the culture and how, and the niche that you have in that market. So you might focus on A plus properties. Somebody else might do C class properties. Somebody else might do LIHTC or HUD or things like that. So all of that, you know, figure out what your niche is and everything like that. That's going to help you be really good at what you do. That could be a disruptor in and of itself. But I think the biggest thing is when I see companies try to just do everything, that doesn't necessarily work either. So, you know, if you look at your portfolio and you just are like, I have like one of each type of client persona, like I have Leisure Larry and I have, you know, Accidental Albert and I have, you know, Steely Stan, who's like, you know, great for an investor Ivan. Like I try to, you know, capture these personas. You want to have diversity in your portfolio, but you also don't want so much diversity that your team is kind of like, we don't really know what we're specializing in. And one client will be, could literally make it really difficult to run your business, meaning they are micromanaging my team all the time. They're calling us all the time. They want to know everything that's going on with their property. And while that could be, you could build a business just off of those type of clients, it could also be very taxing for your team. So I think the biggest thing is to kind of really sum it all up is really figure out your niche and stick to that. If you want to explore another pillar of the business, like HOA, short-term, you know, small multifamily, if you're doing single family, that's all good, but don't expect your property manager to be diversified enough to be able to also handle the personas of those clients as well.
Makes sense. I mean, there's so much within the property management world and so much to learn, and you can't be an expert in everything. So it makes a lot of sense to niche in. That's great advice. Looking ahead, what trends or changes do you anticipate in the property management industry, and how can businesses prepare for those?
You know, that's the million. If we all knew that, wouldn't we all be really, really wealthy? And to like, I feel like I, you know, could make money off of that if I really knew what was going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of things we couldn't have predicted. Nobody could have predicted COVID turned out the way it did and for how long it lasted, and all of the regulations that came from COVID that some haven't gotten rid of. So like, you have to wonder, when are these moratoriums going to be lifted? Are they ever? And if not, now we have to change the course of business. So I think it's like, we just have to always be cautious of that could happen again, or something similar that could really impact it. I've seen, again, things I could never have predicted that are coming to light, especially with legislation in individual counties and cities and states, are really impacting how we do business and our, you know, property management. We're getting, you know, small to big government coming in and saying, hey, you can no longer, you know, you have to now, like, help. This is a weird one in California. You may have to consider pets and allow them, for sure. Like, you can't turn anybody with a pet away. It's a protected class. Well, pets aren't a protected class. And so, again, for somebody else to tell me how to run my business effectively, and kind of, you know, morally and ethically, really does change, you know, what's going on. So it's probably what I see is that we're going to see a lot more still of these state regulations coming down and changing the way we operate. What can we charge? What can we, you know, the challenge is the more they limit us on our capabilities to make money in ancillary fashion, then we can't run a business just on property, like monthly management fees alone, because we would just, the only way to sustain that is through massive doors. And in order to get massive doors, I need people, and I can't pay people because their salaries are higher than I can afford. So it's like the cart before the horse type of thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, again, what trends do I see? More regulation is probably the number one trend I still see coming up. And I think technology is always getting better. You know, for years, people have tried to run management companies contactless. It's not a contactless business. We are a people industry. Tenants are real people. They are moving into assets that we have to manage. They have real problems. And so you can't get away from that. But I do think that really good technology can help us manage the flow of information coming in.
Totally. Awesome. Very insightful. And then my last question is, if you could recommend any book to a property manager, what book would that be? It doesn't have to be a property management book.
There is, there's a lot of books. I read a lot. So it's hard to narrow it down just one. I think if you're an owner of a property management company, I would say The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, which I think is a really good book for helping people deal with conflict, holding people accountable, what healthy conflict, because you have to have conflict in order to kind of, I mean, you can't be in property management if you're going to avoid conflict. So if you have somebody who's like, oh, I just don't want to talk to somebody because I don't want them to get mad at me, they're probably in the wrong business. And they're not even just in the wrong seat. They're not even, they can't handle property management because it's all conflict, whether it's an owner or a tenant, a vendor, your team. So I think that's a good one. I think there's a book by Amy Marin, I think is how you say her name, is called The 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. And so like, they don't waste time feeling sorry for themselves. They don't give away their power. They don't shy away from change. Again, I'm always big on change. They don't focus on things that they can't control. They don't worry about like pleasing everyone, because you can't please everyone. So they don't shy away from taking like calculated risk. I think in this business, you have to, you can't fear change and you can't fear taking risks. You learn from your mistakes. So you don't make the same ones over and over again, but you definitely need to learn from them. You can't be envious or resent somebody else's success. You want to kind of still celebrate that. And when you do, it kind of like, that's that karma piece of it, I think. It's kind of the world doesn't owe me anything. I'm going to go out and make a difference. So that's kind of part of that whole. So mindset, I guess, is, you know, this mental mindset is really big. I see it a lot basically in psychology and everything like that. And that really plays a part into our business. You have to have the right mindset. And so how do you get there and overcome everything that's kind of universally happening around us?
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome book. Usually, you know, the focus is what you should do, but it's actually what you shouldn't do. Don't be that way. So the name is Amy Morant. Is that
Morin. It's M-O-R-I-N.
Okay. I'm going to Google it for sure. That sounds like a great book. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Deb. How can people get a hold of you? You know, because we do have a lot of property managers who listen to this podcast, and you know, if they're looking to just improve and get their systems, most of our audience is in Canada, but I'm sure you'd be happy to reach out.
I have Canadian clients, so I am very familiar with Canada. Awesome. I was in Minnesota for 20 years, and so Canada's a lovely neighbor up there. Now, which is why now I'm in Arizona. propertymanagementconsulting.com, super easy. So really easy to find me.
Amazing. That's perfect. Thank you so much for coming on, and I look forward to watching your journey as you continue to go. Thanks so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.